Yes, yes, yes. On a Wednesday, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Shout out to Carmichael Dave. Hopefully he's still here because that mess he made in the studio is still here. Dave, come get your mess. Okay. There he is. He's here. There you go.
Thank you.
Dave is in the building. We're making him clean it up just like he would do his kids. That's right. We'll see you at the game tonight, Dave. No, we won't. Simone behind the glass doing
good
her
morning.
Thing. As always, Chris Watkins. Yep. We have Ja Morant's return. Did we bury the Warriors too soon? Steph Curry, another night-night just for Chris. Mm. Chris was having a great week, too.
Yeah.
A great
it was
week.
Going so well.
And then the night-night comes out of nowhere. We have the Kings taking on hopefully a tired Celtics team. Or will it be a motivated Celtics team tonight at Golden 1? And, of course, our Kings roundtable, and that will be at 12:30 with our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunez. We'll also get into Justin Verlander's little brother, Ben Verlander, claiming that Shohei is the most important signing in Dodgers history. Mm. Let's just sit on that one, and if you don't understand why that doesn't make any sense, Google most important Dodgers signings, and you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Good. Just defrosting from
you
from
got on the
studio
hockey,
this
the
morning.
Hockey sweater, so
I know.
You were actually
yeah, I was ready
prepared.
For the ice, and Dave really tested me, but it's like you said, I was having a good week until Wardell Stephen Curry decided to go crazy yesterday. But you know what? In a weird way, it might have been to the Kings' benefit. So. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see how it affects the Celtics going into tonight's game. But if Steph were to have a performance like he did yesterday, at the very least, I can take some joy in knowing that it might have actually helped the Kings out a little bit tonight.
It does, and we'll get into how much it will help a little bit later in the show, because in a perfect world, the Celtics win that game. Right? Because
yeah,
then they
sure.
feel like they got their W off the back-to-back.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we'll get into it. I think the Celtics are going to be motivated.
Sure.
It's on the Kings to gas them out, right, and tire them out quickly. And
but the
I don't
Celtics
know.
Are on the second night of a back-to-back. It's just supposed to be – that's a win, right? That's that just
well,
means the Kings
that, when
are
it's
absolutely
going to
win, right?
When it's the Kings, is this a scheduled loss, right? In Boston, if Bill Simmons, are they talking about a scheduled loss?
1,000%.
But here's the thing. I think if you're the Celtics, you probably feel like if let's say the Celtics get ran out the gym tonight and the Kings are watching just as we're watching, okay, we're going to come out hot. We're just going to bury these guys. I feel like the Bill Simmons and the Boston
right.
media group will say, look, it's a back-to-back, and
totally.
Honestly, we had our W against the Warriors to split
right.
on the back-to-back, and we blew it.
They just fumbled it completely.
You fumbled the bag, and now you got to come to Sacramento, and the Kings are not coming off a back-to-back,
no,
and the
are.
Kings know that, and this is where Coach Mike Brown and De'Aaron Fox on his birthday, this is where you make your money. This is where you say, hey, we're going to take advantage of this situation. And oddly enough, correct me if I'm wrong, is this only on NBA TV or is it not national at all?
I will have to check. I believe it is on NBA TV. I think I saw something this morning about them putting it out. It is on NBA TV, yeah. So you'll be able to get it there. And I mean, there if you're not local, obviously. But
yeah.
NBC will still
but not the same.
It.
But not the same. National, right? You're
no,
not going to go
no,
back to back with
yeah.
the Celtics national. Of course,
right.
the Warriors got that with their history. We'll get more into that game as well. And if you're the Kings, hey, this is an opportunity. We get a real deal team, of course, and you don't have that spotlight. This is another reason, hey, in a couple years, we want to be that national game. We want to add on to those national games. Also, we will talk about Jerry Rice saying that Brock Purdy reminds him of Joe Montana. We've been hearing this stuff. We heard this. After the end of last season, we thought it was hyperbole. We thought it was a little much. But now, does it? If anybody would know, it would be Jerry Rice, right?
So, I would think so, yeah.
I mean, now, reminding someone of somebody, and that's like me saying, Caleb Williams reminds me of Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Caleb Williams is Patrick Mahomes, but his mannerisms and how he throws
right.
a football, right? And we do the same thing with
Trae Young and Steph Curry.
You literally took the words out of my mouth. So we'll get into that. We got sound for that as well. And Kings fans are mad.
They sure are.
Kings fans are
my
mad
goodness.
At Zach Harper, who is a writer. And I honestly, as I'm still getting introduced, you know, it's been a couple months now, but still getting introduced to the Sacramento way of life. And I literally had to read what Zach Harper wrote.
Right.
At least three times to try to figure out what the Kings fans were mad about.
Super upset.
They were super upset.
It's one thing to be like, whatever, disgruntled or even upset just a little bit. But like there was every single person who had a Twitter account, it felt like, was adding Zach Harper and adding Kevin O'Connor and just being like, you don't know what you're doing. How do you have a job in media when you write these things?
Yeah.
And I mean, we'll get into it more later.
And of course, at 1:30, we will have our dog segment. This might be one of the most important dog segments. Ooh. This is just a huge game. And I think there is an added layer to this because the Celtics are coming off the back-to-back. Yeah. I think you could say, oh, I'd love to see both teams at full strength. Well, that would be in the finals if that were to happen next. I want to see if the Kings can smell blood in the water, right, and come out and really bury these guys. We've been joking about Coach Carter the last couple days with the Wizards. Get them on the line and do liners all day long. Just run them out of the gym. I don't want to see anybody rest. I don't want to see anything because the Celtics, very bizarre ending. That possession where they had at
12
least
12 offensive rebounds.
12. They couldn't hit anything.
I don't even know how many it was.
They couldn't hit anything, I believe, between the fourth quarter and overtime. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum only combined for 7 points.
Mm.
And you got Al Horford saying, it's my time.
Yeah.
He thought it was 2022.
Hey,
Derek White, it was 2022. Yeah. That game won when Derek White and Al Horford were balling out of control, couldn't miss a three-pointer. So if you're the Warriors, you're thinking, all right, if you guys are going to beat us with Derek White and Al Horford, we can live. And I think Kuminga, as we talk about Zach Harper and what he had to say, I think Kuminga is one of those guys, and we've gone back and forth about being a bust or not. Whether he will be what the Warriors were hoping, that remains to be seen. But the man can guard. And he had, and I saw, I can't take credit for this, but he had Jason Tatum on Alcatraz, right? Jason Tatum couldn't do a dang thing.
Yeah.
And bringing it back to the Kings and wanting to have that wing type of guy, that isn't Keon Ellis, but I guess it could be, maybe.
It's like a pocket. Keon's like a smaller version of him for sure.
He's more of that for guards specifically.
Yeah.
He can have the bigger guards in that situation, but to your point and to what we've talked about with getting an OG Anunoby or somebody like that, the Kings don't have somebody like that besides Keegan, who we're going to see, like we said. Keegan, here are your defensive assignments, Keegan Murray. You have Jason Tatum and or Jaylen Brown tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then on, what was it,
Friday
you have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. You can pick your poison there.
Yep.
Allen Stiles will be there as a fan, so you know you're going to want to show
not
out.
Disappoint.
You know you're going to want to show out, okay, because I'm going to be cloud chasing. I'm going to have my Instagram popping, Keegan, all right? I need a beam, Keegan, all right? Everybody in the Bay needs to see me having a great time at the game. And then on Saturday, off of back-to-back, you get Anthony Edwards. So we're going to see.
That's tough.
I'm telling you.
I mean, you've been phrasing it right all week. Like, this is very much like a midterm vibe. Like, they just had their 25 games to kind of get to the point where, okay, your grades are steady now.
Yes.
Okay, you finally got it up to a 3-0.
Right.
Now we're going to have the big test to see, all right, let's see. Again, you look good. You stabilize things.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got some real tests to see. Of course, like, it's not going to be the end-all, be-all, but this is a nice little gauge, a nice little litmus test to see, all right, how much are you guys clicking? And are there moves that you guys just need to make if you're going to be able to compete at this level? Because, you know, it's some of the best teams in the NBA coming through Golden One Center this week. And, even though the Celtics are on the second night of a back-to-back, even though, all those teams are coming to Sacramento, They're not gonna take it easy on them, and they're looking to get wins. I mean, they're gonna come in tonight, the Celtics. That is, they're not gonna be tired. Like, they're a team that's been in the finals. They've been in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're well seasoned in being the hunted. They're not gonna be deterred or slowed down by the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, they definitely don't want to drop two, and obviously no team does.
Not.
But the Celtics, all of their losses have been on the road.
Yep.
They are undefeated at home.
Yep.
They have only lost on the road. So they definitely, I think they're probably excited about tonight because you get to get that taste from last night out of your mouth,
right?
Not against a Wizards team or somebody like the Blazers, somebody like that. You get to do it against a legit competitor and contender in this league, in the Kings. So I think that the Celtics will be up to the task, at least at the start of the game. It's on the Kings to really say, hey, we know you're more tired than that. We're just gonna run you out the gym. Quickly, before we get into too much of the Kings, the Nick Bosa thing and Jalen Hurts. Hey, we put out the blueprint, and I know Dave played the sound, and it's, oh, keep him contained and close his running lanes so he has to stay. Last season, he threw very well in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And this season, he has not, right? And we talked about the jokes of there's only four plays being run, right? Something just doesn't look right. But it hasn't looked – that's the thing about the reason I'm not necessarily on board with the Nick Bosa thing is obviously they haven't looked – the Eagles haven't looked as good since they played the Niners. They've also been on just a complete gauntlet.
Yeah.
And they really didn't look great before the Niners. That's why I'm not taking what Nick Bosa said and saying, wow, the Niners, they broke the Eagles, they broke Jalen Hurts. They really didn't look good all season. And that's why Niners fans were complaining about Jalen Hurts being ahead of Brock Purdy in the MVP race. So I hear what he's saying, but to me, I didn't see it as, wow, the blueprint. You're not the first person to think to do that. That's just how I saw it.
No, yeah. I mean, I definitely don't think that they figured out some blueprint. I think you hit the nail on the head right there. I think that it's that the Eagles are in a really, really tough stretch of games right now. I mean, what? Even before the Niners game, it was like they had played the Bills and they had played the Chiefs and
the Cowboys.
The Cowboys. Yeah. And we're sandwiched in between two Cowboy games. They're just on a brutal stretch. And I mean, they were still 10-1. I think Draper even said it yesterday. Like, this is still a team that has 10 wins on the season. And, you know, they're going to finish what? They could finish 13-4 this year. They're still a really good team. And that's why, you know, I'm not quite there on this is the Niners just clear out the lane here because it's the Niners to lose. I mean, it is theirs to lose, but it's just not as – it's not going to be as easy as what I feel like people are starting to build this thing up as, where the Niners are just going to roll through the playoffs. I'm not quite there yet.
Well, I am. I am. Yeah. And I've been there, and that's why, you know, even – if the Eagles – to be fair, if the Eagles drop, I'll believe Nick Bosa more if they come out the Eagles do and they lose to the Giants and they lose to the Commanders, course, and they play the Giants twice. Mm-hmm. So if that happens,
you're down.
Okay. Yeah. But these teams and even the Seahawks, right, they were in a position to win. Jalen Hurts don't play defense, and Bradberry got cooked. So I don't know.
Sure,
he really did. So I don't know about all that. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we are talking about Ja Morant's return. We have sound from Ja Morant. He kept receipts. We'll see what he's got to say. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Getting you ready, getting you set for Kings Celtics. This will be one heck of a matchup. And on De'Aaron Fox's birthday, you got to think he's got something special in store. He gets to play at home. I think it's going to be a great game. And I know that the Beam regime, I know that Kings fans are very excited. Trying to get confirmation. Porzingis, I know they said he was probably going to play last night. Yeah. Not that he was going to play last night, but he would probably play tonight. Yes. I don't know if that's official yet, but if it is, that is somebody that the Warriors did not have to deal with. Jason Tatum did roll his ankle last night, and he returned to the game and still made shots, still did his thing. But I do wonder if we talk about how Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum only combined for 7. Now, I don't know about Jalen Brown, maybe they just made him go left towards the end of the game. But as I do give a lot of kudos to Kuminga, I wonder how that ankle is feeling for Jason Tatum today.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the big question, especially when you roll your ankle. It's not about, you know, how you feel that day. It's not, you know, when the adrenaline's going and you can keep that thing moving, you're relatively fine. It's the next day when that thing starts to swell up. Can you even put pressure on it? Mm-hmm. It looked like a pretty nasty roll, but the fact he was able to finish the game and it happened so early in the game, and for him to finish, I would guess he's probably fine, but you never know. I mean, it's still so early in the season, like maybe Boston does just kind of decide to take it
easy. That's a good point.
You know, like you said, they're expecting to have Porzingis back tonight. So maybe it could be a night where they just decide to rely on some of those other guys. It's not necessarily a must win from the Celtics' perspective. They've done a great job of getting off to a great start. So, you know, maybe if in their eyes they could possibly afford to lose a couple games here, as I'm pretty sure they're wrapping up their West Coast road trip, and maybe they'll just cut their losses and say, let's go back home and let's not further injure our star player, because if Jason Tatum's not playing well, that's how the Celtics start looking real regular.
Well, it's interesting because I'm looking here at the Celtics schedule, and you have the Kings tonight on the back-to-back. After that, so you can look at this a couple ways if you're the Celtics. You can say, hey, power through, because then you don't play again until Saturday.
Okay, where is
right?
that?
It's in L.A. So okay. Basically, after this, they hang out in L.A., play the Clippers on the 23rd, and then their Christmas Day game is the Lakers Monday.
Yeah, okay.
So they're not done with the trip.
Okay.
They don't have to leave California.
Right.
But they do have to get back on a plane. So if you're the Celtics, and this is where I'm going to be completely honest with you, it might help to be a smaller market team.
Right.
Right. Where it's, hey, we could sit Tatum against the back-to-back with the Kings.
Right.
Because we want to make sure that he's right.
Especially for
our
Christmas.
Two LA games.
I mean, the Christmas game is the one where Adam Silver is going to say, hey, is Jason Tatum feeling
okay?
No,
he's got to be. So if I'm the Celtics, I don't think you would play him tonight and then, it's still sore. Let's sit him against the Clippers on Saturday.
Right.
I think, if anything, they would sit him today.
Tonight,
but like
right.
you said, he was back. I mean, I don't think he maybe missed the end of a quarter.
Right.
And
maybe
came
missed
back.
Like one rotation.
Exactly. Yeah. So he will probably play, but we will keep an eye on that as well as we also keep an eye on Ja Morant's return. Because I had both games going on the League Pass. There were two games going on. It was the Spurs playing. What was it? The Bucks or somebody like that. They were getting smacked. I was looking and I see the Pelicans, the Kings' arch nemesis, smacking the Grizzlies. And I'm thinking, man, two bad games. I go to put baby girl down for a nap, and the Grizzlies are right back.
Yeah.
Right? So
Pelicans
I'm thinking,
were killing them.
They were hitting them, and all of a sudden, the Grizzlies are right back in it. Ja Morant does his thing, and, you know, he had this to say in the post game.
I've been putting work in, man. I ain't played a game in 8 months. Had a lot of time, you know, learn myself. A lot of hard days, you know, where I went through it. But, you know, basketball is, you know, my life, what I love, therapeutic for me, and I'm just, you know, excited to be back.
So he says that, and that is basically Ja Morant in PR mode, right? That is Ja Morant, hey, this is what you say after the game. This should be how you feel, right? All of that. Then this is what he said after that as he's running back to the locker room. He kept receipts.
Okay.
He kept receipts. So he goes on to say that, and then in the post-game presser, somebody asked him about that, and he says, yeah, it is exactly what it sounds like. I heard everything, right? Does it feel weird, number one, how Ja Morant was accepted back? I mean, and I have there is a compilation tweet up of just the NBA community, from LeBron James to Kevin Garnett to Vince Carter to Tyus Jones to Kyle Kuzma, Tyrese Maxey. Draymond was tweeting a lot last night, by the way. We can talk about that a little bit as well.
He should have filled in for Chuck last night.
All of these guys. And look, I'm torn because I understand the brotherhood. And you have somebody that you know just has immense talent. Mm-hmm. If he could just stay out of his own way.
Right.
But does it feel a bit weird like when DeAndre Hopkins came back and did a promo video when he was coming back from PEDs, right? Does it feel weird? Like, Ja, what are your receipts on?
Right.
You put yourself
in messed up.
What are your receipts on? Are your receipts on the team, right? Because people said the team was done.
Right.
Or is it about, I didn't hear anybody, and maybe I did not hear correctly, but nobody was saying Ja was done. Everybody was saying, Ja, you got to just stop getting in your own way.
Yeah.
So, the whole, it's me against the world.
Yeah.
You keep putting yourself in your own way.
Right.
Do you have receipts on yourself?
That's what I'm, because like, I mean, yeah, we've got the receipts too of what put you in this situation. And I'm a little bit conflicted to answer your question. Like, I just feel, I don't really, I don't want to say I don't care about the, like, it's not the fact that it was him waving a gun is the reason why.
Multiple times. I tried to Google the sound for the show,
yeah,
and I clicked on different tweets and posts, and it said from 2021,
right,
from 2022, multiple things. And by the way, he's still in a hearing right now for what happened with the kid.
Why is he in court right now? Just pay that kid off. Like, as much, like, I'm sorry, like, I don't know if I'm not supposed to say the quiet part out loud, but, like, pay the kid off, get an NDA, and be done with it. Why are you, like, why are you further, not implicating yourself, but why are you bringing more attention to your wrongdoings? I don't know if he's just, like, really prideful and trying to say, like, look, this kid's been lying on me and all that stuff. But, I mean, I like I was saying, I don't really have a problem or a massive problem with the gun factor of it. It's more of the sense that he treated us as a public like we were idiots. Like, it was... Oh no, like it was a slap on the wrist. They're not going to do anything to me. And then to do it 2 weeks later again after being warned and after having all the spotlight on you, it was just such a dumb decision. And that's why, like, it was a dumb thing for him to do. I'm not going to be that quick to just open you or welcome you back with open arms. Like, I'm not here to punish you or anything like that. I don't want to see you suspended for longer. It just, to me, felt strange that all of a sudden it just felt like all of his wrongdoing, all of his bad actions were just completely erased and wiped away and all that conversation. It's just, yeah, John Moran is back. How awesome. How awesome. And it doesn't ever really, like, I don't know. It feels very incomplete and it feels very not rushed because he was suspended for 25 games, but I don't know. It didn't feel right yesterday. I don't know if I can even fully put my finger on what didn't feel right, but I personally, and I think it's a personal decision for everybody, but I personally just felt like I'm not ready right now to be super supportive of Ja Morant, like, being awesome and being right back to the face of the NBA or the future face of the NBA. That's where I have no problem with him playing basketball. I've got no problem with him in the league. Got no problem with him starring for his team. But it's the face of the league thing where I'm like, well, you know, again, I just think that there's better examples out there to be the face of the NBA.
I don't have a
problem. Like De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Not saying, you know,
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. Different conversation.
But I guess I don't have a problem with how the players welcomed him back with open arms, because that's what the players are going to do. It's a brotherhood.
Like you said, it's a brotherhood.
He is a young player in this league, and they want to see him win. So I don't have a problem with that. I just think it's funny that Ja is coming down. And look, we can't see every piece of content, especially these days. We don't even know what content is true or not, right? So for Ja to say, well, I kept receipts on this, I just don't want him to forget who put himself in that situation,
right? Totally.
Right? And I was watching First Take this morning, and Jay Williams was essentially saying, hey, this is how athletes kind of compute, and it's they have to – even if it's not an actual person or something, they just need to use it to motivate them.
Right.
That's all fine and good, but again, it's how it sounds, right? And it sounds like you are upset that people were holding you accountable. Now, if there are people out there that said, Ja is done, he'll never get his life together, he, you know, he's a hack, he can't figure it out, he's a dummy, all this stuff. If there, and there are probably people that are, did say that, then... cool, I get it, Ja. But I think also for me, it's also a timing thing. I don't know if that was the time. Even Damian Lillard saying it to Halliburton in a completely different way to be humble at some points, I would have liked to see the Ja initial when he was on the court, that first clip we played, I would have liked to see that at least for a day. At least for a day, get through the game, and then you get on a little winning streak.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all thought I was done. I mean, to be fair, Ja, it was only one game, and you came back hot, but it was only one game.
Yeah, I mean, the Memphis Grizzlies right now, with that win, moved to 7-19.
Right, so that second part of you, people are, you know, and I get it. If you're I guess, in the heat of it or whatever
for
it
sure.
is.
Yeah, he just hit a game
he
winner.
He just hit a game winner, back, but I just think that There's all these situations where everybody wants to be the victim. Everybody can't be the victim.
Right.
And Ja, you're not the victim.
Right.
Okay. You served your time and you're back playing. All the talking heads or whoever, if that's who you're talking to, if there were people, from what I saw, it was a lot of we'll see. Because we'll see. Yeah. But if there were people saying, straight up, Ja's done, right? He'll never be the face of the league. He'll never be this. He'll never be that. And that's who he's coming at. Sure, I get it. It would have been nice to at least get through a night and just be humble for one night.
I think that's where I think you helped me come to a conclusion that I think that's where I was so upset. Is it just it doesn't feel like at any point like where was the remorse? Where is the I learned something from this? And again, maybe right immediately after maybe hitting the game winner is not the time.
But. Well, but maybe he felt like that first. We got to go. That maybe we felt like he felt like that first. Post-gamer on the court where he did say, I learned about myself, blah, 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 blah. Maybe he felt like, now I did that. Now I've covered that. I crossed that off the checkbox for my PR, and now I'm
He did the Jalen Rose interview. It's the same thing as the Jalen Rose interview
Exactly. It's a different handshakes, okay? You do the certain handshakes with certain people. All right, we got to go. Let's continue to have this conversation. And we see it popping on the text line, 916-339-1140. You want to be a part of the conversation. Also in the Sack Chat, shout out to the Sack Chat, always holding us down. You want to be a part of the conversation, call in, text in. I think it's a very interesting one, and we will continue to talk about it. And also the Warriors, did we bury them too soon? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Ball into the backcourt for Morant. 8 seconds. 7 seconds. Jones waits beyond the three-point line. 4 seconds. 3 seconds. Morant into the lane. Spins. Hangs. Floats. It's good! Zeroes on the clock. Morant wins the game in his return. 25 games later, the Grizzlies have shown they are going to make a charge back into the Western Conference picture.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. That was clearly from the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies broadcast. They have proven they will make a push. Really?
Really?
What, they got 7 wins now.
Resurgence back into the Western Conference.
They are on their way.
They got to win 12 straight to get to 500.
They have proven. Really?
Oh, boy.
Only one can hope. They keep receipts out there in Memphis. They keep receipts as we talk Ja Morant's return. We will talk about the Warriors. Did we bury them too soon? Jerry Rice, Brock Purdy reminds him of Joe Montana, and of course, King Celtics. We're going hardcore King Celtics around 11:30. Then we have our roundtable at 12:30, so hang with us as we take you up to 2 p.m. before the drive, guys. The text line doing what it always does, giving us different perspectives from the 916, talking about guns in America and bringing race into the equation as well. If it was a country boy showing guns, nobody would bat an eye. Well, 916, if that country boy was in the NBA, I think they would bat an eye, right?
I don't if it's the NBA. Like, well, how about the NFL, too?
Really, just
MLB?
Right. Like, anywhere where you are making your – look, as whatever company you work for, everything is different based on visibility, right? What you mean to your company.
Right.
The one thing that we can all agree with is that, especially in this economy – when layoffs are happening, you don't want to upset your company or bring your company extra drama. A lot of people just want to chill in the back and, hey, nobody really knows about Benny over there. So when Benny just does his work, right? Yeah. If you are bringing extra, it doesn't matter race. It doesn't matter the color. If you are bringing extra drama to an already busy, high stress job,
high visibility job, enough eyes on you.
You have to be dealt with. Yeah. I can guarantee you, if Ja Morant, now maybe socially and how it's viewed, in that regard might be different. But if Ja Morant was white and he is flashing his gun on social media, he would have got the same suspension. So maybe 916 doesn't mean that he wouldn't, and it's just how people talk about it.
Sure.
But I've already said, we need the next face of the NBA. All the brothers that were hollering at Ja, hey, shout out 12 from LeBron James to Draymond Green to Tyrese Maxey, who's another young buck in the league. They all want to see him win. We all want to see him win. The problem is, what you're not going to do is come here and pretend like you're the victim or somebody put you in that situation. And we kept the same energy with Draymond Green when Draymond Green was trying to say the same thing, as if somebody made him do the A-Town stomp on Sabonis' chest. Nobody's making you do that.
No. Yeah, I mean, Jaws completely put himself into this situation. You're right. Like, I mean, I don't know why he's even looking to try and play the victim card, because he completely put himself into these situations, and he's got no one else to blame. Like, it was his own decision to go live on Instagram. It was his decision to
blame
flash
your
the
boys.
Gun on his boy who went live and flashed to him. that's all on him. Like, you got to surround yourself with better people. And, you know, I'm not going to draw crazy conclusions off of just yesterday. And again, high emotions and everything going into yesterday's game and the conclusion of it. But I don't know. It makes me think, and I'm wondering the same thing when it comes to Draymond too. Like, what are these suspensions? Like, I want to see you come back. Like you said, we all want to see Ja win. He's not going to win unless he truly has learned something. And I don't know. Just if you're asking me after yesterday, did I feel like Ja Morant learned something from sitting out and having that time to reflect on his own actions? After yesterday, I would say no, just because it didn't seem like he took the opportunity to explain, like, I feel like I've grown from this, I've learned, and maybe he said it and I just haven't caught it because I haven't been in on, you know, all the Memphis Grizzlies
with Ali LaForce at the beginning.
Yeah,
I would have said yes when he was still on the court. Something snapped in him between that, I believe,
right,
that he felt like he did what he needed to do. He said the right things and then just decided, all right, now I can be Ja again.
But isn't that symptomatic of what was the problem in the first place? It's this guy who is, maybe not even one thing on the floor and a different off, but it's, okay, it doesn't really matter what's on the floor isn't the issue. What you're saying in post-game press conferences isn't the issue. It's the what you do immediately after you're off the floor and sometimes it's literally once you leave the arena, what are your actions like? And to me, again, it's not showing a level of accountability. And immediately after that interview with Ali LaForce, again, running to his locker room and saying, I'm keeping, I kept receipts. And it's like, well, yeah, again, you kept receipts on what? People holding you accountable? I don't get it. I just don't think from yesterday, it just doesn't feel like much has been learned. And again, that was what my thing with Draymond was, okay, this is all fine and dandy. I don't know why we're going to suspend him indefinitely if what we're trying to actually do is, if you want to say rehabilitate them, then let's actually do it and let's not let them play until we feel like they're a better person on the other side of it.
I think the confusing thing is whether or not Ja Morant, we have two similar yet completely different situations, which is an oxymoron, with Ja Morant and Draymond Green. Draymond Green on the court, suspect to say the least, right? Off the court, Draymond's never had any issues, right? I think randomly back in the day there was something in Michigan.
Yeah.
He fought some kid at a bar or something like that, very long time ago. When you have Ja Morant, no real issues on the court.
He's really fun on the floor.
And then off the court, it gets even stickier because, to 916's point, if Ja worked at Staples or somebody like that, there probably wouldn't be any repercussions for hopping on Instagram Live with the gun, right? It depends on who you talk to. Well, obviously, I don't know if the gun was registered or whatever the case was, but in terms of doing quote-unquote something wrong, it just is an extremely sticky situation. So when you talk about rehabilitation, I think people have been going back and forth with Ja or with Draymond Green because, does Draymond Green actually need counseling?
Right.
He doesn't do anything off the court. And very similar with Ja, was he just getting counseling to not be a dummy?
So I think that's also an interesting thing as well, because I do think that there's two different forms of rehabilitation for those two guys. If you were to ask me, I would say Draymond needs anger management. He needs to figure out, when you get to that red zone, how do you calm yourself down or understand what actions are crossing the line and what is, you can be upset and angry. There's just certain things that we all know you're not allowed to do. I think the problem with Ja isn't even, I don't even know if Ja's a bad person. I don't think he is.
He's just young and
he's young.
$1 trillion.
He makes dumb decisions, and I think part of that is because he's young, but I think the real problem with Ja is he's got a bad circle around him. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk about rehabilitation with Ja, it's for me more of, he needs to understand himself more, understand the situation he's in, what's at stake, and understand that you can't put yourself in jeopardy by hanging around that many the wrong kind of people. Because clearly, if we want to use the example of why he's in court right now, him beating up a 17-year-old, well, like, you need to have somebody in your crew who's going to step to Ja and get in between you and that 17-year-old and say, bro, what do you do? Like, get out. Like, if you want to, like, let me, if anything, a fall guy. Be like, yeah. I'll take care of this. If you're really that hot about it, let me take the fall for this. Or, you know, again, a friend who's not going to go live on Instagram Live when he knows you have a gun after this happens and point the Instagram Live camera to you. Like, Ja's putting himself in those situations, yes, but also the people that are around him aren't helping him to succeed. And that's the biggest thing that I think that dude needs.
And people come down T. Morant's road. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to speak on that man's family, but I don't know what to do. It doesn't feel like his dad's helping him.
But I just don't know. I don't know. If I'm 23, 24 years old and you're living in a house that I bought you and I'm a multimillionaire,
totally fair.
You going to listen to your daddy? I don't know.
You're not wrong. No, like, Pops. No, you're not wrong.
You like them shoes you wearing, mm-hmm. Pops? You like them front row tickets? I don't know.
I'm not going to say a good dad, but I'm going to say, as a father, I would say your responsibility is say, if you're going to talk, like, no, like, I'm here to check you on
that. We just don't know if that's happening, though.
And I'm saying that needs to, somebody in his life, it should probably be his dad.
He should come
out. Somebody needs to tell him and say, bro, you can't, you just, like, you're messing. Yeah, it's great that you bought me a house. It's great you bought me these shoes. You're not going to be able to do that in 10 years if you keep messing up like this.
I just think that from raising his son and helping him get to the league,
sure.
who's been in his life this whole time, right. and he's got his sister who's a baller as well, it's hard for me to believe that T. Morant, as much as he looks cool or whatever the case is, hasn't tried to talk to Ja before.
T is a dude who literally started a scuffle sitting courtside with Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows? All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, did we bury the Warriors too soon? Is there another two, if you count the Grizzlies, who are coming back? Are there two more teams in the West to worry about? Sals and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
Where is Ja?
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by our Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders at 12:30 for our Kings Roundtable. We know that you love that. Get your calls ready. Get your texts ready as we get ready for Kings Celtics. But the Celtics are coming off a back-to-back. And the team that they played, that team in the Bay, they kind of did the Kings a favor. Would have liked to see the Celtics win that game so they would have felt like, okay, we got our one in the back-to-back, and maybe they would be gassed. And maybe in that case, honestly, maybe Jason Tatum would be more likely to sit if they feel like they got that W against their, not rival, but they played a couple years ago in the finals. But they didn't, in part because of Steph Curry, who was playing with five fouls, I think the whole fourth quarter or majority of the fourth quarter. And the Celtics, for as good as they have looked all season, they were missing Porzingis, Porzingoat, as some people may call him.
Porzingod.
The Celtics crumbled at the end, right? They were trying to ride the Derrick White wave, and Al Horford took some shots where he was wide open.
But sometimes
there's a reason you are with that elbow out to thy kingdom come. And the Warriors were able to overcome a 17-point deficit and win the basketball game. And in Warrior land, they feel like they are turning things. The Warriors are turning things around. The Clippers have figured it out.
Great.
The Grizzlies are pushing towards the Western Conference standing. So it is a busy time in the Western Conference. It's a busy time for Santa, and it's a busy time in the Western Conference as a lot of these teams are turning things around.
Yeah.
Did we bury the Warriors too soon?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think Klay is playing a lot better. I think they said he scored 20 points, you know, after there was the Warrior stat for that for so far what's been the first half of the season, that, you know, nobody except for Steph had scored over 20 points, and then it was, you know, four guys in 15 games or something had scored over 20 points, and Klay has now scored, I think, over 20 in 9 of his last 13. So he seems to have clicked things back up. But to me, it just feels like the Warriors have kind of lost that that punch. I mean, and no pun intended.
Come on, man.
No, absolutely.
With Draymond, I mean, they don't have one.
Absolutely no pun intended there.
I don't
swear
know
it was not. But they, I mean, and I don't even think it's the Draymond thing. I think even with Draymond, they just don't feel as scary as a team. And
3-0 they might, since Draymond went back to his session.
Right. I think that they could maybe squeeze into the play-in race. I don't know if I even would believe in them in the play-in tournament with how many good teams there are in the West. I just think that...
even the play-in?
I think that Steph has the ability to elevate that team in a single performance, but I think that the Warriors winning a playoff series this year seems... It really seems almost impossible.
No, they can get one.
I don't know.
Steph will get them one.
They can win it. They can win a game or two. I don't see them winning four games.
Who are they beating? But let's look here.
Yeah.
And I will say, in Warriorville, they're even. We're not doing it, but because we did it last week, and I thought people were going to jump through the screen and take the mics out of our hands when we brought up. We didn't even bring it up. Bleacher Report brought up Draymond Green and the Kings being a possible fit amongst other teams, and people were upset. So doing that. All I'm saying is that in Warriorville, what they're saying is that could this be the coming out party for Jonathan Kuminga? And you look at a different version of the big three with Steph, Klay, and Jonathan Kuminga doing a lot of those same things and being that athletic guy. To me, when I look at the fact that you got Andrew Wiggins on the bench, you have Pajemski starting, and I think he's a good story, and I think he could be a good little player. To me, it just makes me feel like it's cute.
Yeah.
This current lineup is cute.
Yeah.
They're 3-0 since Draymond half departure. He'll be back at some point. It's cute. But do I think that this team is going to win a championship? And, of course, Draymond would be back by then. I definitely don't think they're going to win a championship. I do think that with Steph, the way but here's the thing, Chris. Are you putting this more on the Celtics? Because my question is, we talked yesterday, and we're going to talk more during our Kings roundtable, about the length that the Celtics have.
Yeah.
You got Derek White. You got Drew Holiday. You got Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
You got Jaylen Brown. You have all these guys, and nobody, after he went night-night on you 2 years ago, nobody went.
That's where it started, huh, actually?
That playoff run. Nobody. Talk about Coach Mike Brown sending a trap too much.
Right.
You just didn't think to bring a trap at any point and get the ball. And I know Klay shot the ball well late in that game, but nobody thought towards the end of the game, hey, let's make sure we find Steph Curry.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of weird, it's funny because yesterday I was kind of poking fun at the fact that last year Celtics fans were all over Joe Mazzulla's head all year long saying, this dude's like a terrible coach. Like, we're winning 60 games, but this guy's the worst coach ever, and blamed him throughout the duration of the playoffs. And then this year I hadn't heard anything. Yesterday, I feel like, is a day where we might start to hear some Joe Mazzulla stuff, because that didn't make sense to me. And the fact that
he had five fouls
made no sense. Go at that guy every possession. Because, again, what are the Warriors without Stephen Curry in that game?
He should not have even finished the fourth quarter, This man played overtime.
Yeah. It's a miracle you even got five fouls on Steph.
Right.
Like, you have to take advantage of that.
You know how they used to make fun of Ty Lue when he coached LeBron, and the whiteboard, the little whiteboard that you draw plays on, would be a stick figure with LeBron and just say, give the ball to him. I would have had the whiteboard if I was Mazzulla with a stick figure saying, Steph Curry, post him up. Do not let him hide. Mm-mm. He can't finish. Yeah. I don't even care about
put him in the switches.
I don't even care about defense. I don't even care if he's going off. Get that man out the game.
Yeah.
All right. We got to get to a break. We get back continuing to talk about the Celtics and the Warriors. Chris says the Warriors are done. I don't know who's more done, the Warriors or the Eagles. We'll discuss. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.